You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
It's called Happily Come on Watch a Film, also starring Steven Root. It's called Happily Ben David Krupinski's Story, aimed at comedy dudes. It's called Happily Thanks for Watching Us Talk What Might Be the Best Film of the Year. It's called Happily, at least for me, cause I have a lot of weird emotional vulnerability and intimacy issues.
You should do that. That pretty much sums it up.
You should really do that karaoke.
Look, if you just wanted to tag along with me to therapy this morning, you should have asked.
No, I got my own. It's okay. So we are here to review Happily, written and directed by Ben David Grabinski, which launched this past weekend on VOD. I am Davey, and joining me is Frank.
Hello.
And Jordan.
Hello.
And Ryan.
What's going on?
So Happily stars Joel McHale and Carrie Beach as a married couple that loves each other maybe a little too much. They've been together for 14 years and they're still fucking each other like rabbits, and all their friends hate them for it. One day, a mysterious man, played by Steven Root, walks up to them and says, "Hey, there is a defect in the way that you two operate, and you don't have the law of diminishing returns in your genetic makeup, and that's why you still enjoy each other so much. So we're going to give you some money, and we're going to give you some syringes that are going to fix it." And they don't take it, and Carrie Beach kills Steven Root almost immediately, and in an attempt to try and get away after processing and dealing with the body, they go to a weekend retreat with their friends, starring a lot of notable people in the comedy scene, such as Paul Scheer, Breckin Meyer, Shannon Woodward,
Natalie Moraes.
It's a big old cast full of really, really talented, funny people, and things continue to get worse. So, everyone, what did we think of Happily?
I don't think they get worse.
I think they get really, really awesome. Like, every scene is just another layer of for us, obviously.
Oh, yeah, it's great for us. It's bad for them.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Fantastic for us.
The worse it gets, the more I like it. I don't know about you guys, but I really enjoyed the levels of just sheer randomness. Like, this had to have been such a fun screenplay to put together. Like, oh my gosh, it just goes from one, like, extreme to another, and it's nutty as hell, in the best way.
See, I'm right there with you, Frank. I abso-fucking-lutely love this movie. It's not quite my favorite movie of the year, although it does share similarities with that. I care a lot, and it's so fucking dark.
It's already been a bad day, Jordan.
It's already just like, it's so fucking dark, but it's also it is a wild ride, really. But also, fuck those guys if they got a problem with those two. I see Joel McHale and Carrie Beachy, who, by the way, I'm very happy to see in a big project again, because I actually really liked her in the final season of Scrubs. I just see those two and I'm just like, relationship goals. God damn. They clearly just dig the shit out of each other. What the fuck? There's nothing wrong with that. Fuck you guys.
I kind of thought that too. I was like, well, that's like the dream, man. And that kind of like, I kind of felt that way when I saw Jodie Foster and her wife in their pajamas at the Golden Globes. I thought, oh, this isn't funny anymore. I want that.
Look at my name for this review.
But yeah. But no, I think it's, I kind of like that in the screenplay that everybody is just so, because I think there's something really, really true about being jealous of your friends, loving them, and also just like hating that they have something that you don't. I think that's actually pretty on point. And so I appreciated that the screenplay was grounded in that theme.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, without giving too much away, as you all have already said, I really loved just how unpredictable it was. Like, it felt like every point I thought maybe I was getting ahead of it, it just like took a like hard left turn, and that just made it just a really, really fun watch, and you know, just a great like dark comedy.
Yeah, 100%. This movie is really funny throughout, and I definitely opened this by talking about it being somewhat more emotionally affecting than I expected it to be. But make no mistake, this is a dark comedy, and this is a movie that tries to be weird and often very funny in pretty serious and emotionally compelling ways, I would say, especially as it gets towards the end, which we're not going to spoil because apparently everyone doesn't know how to talk about this movie without spoiling it.
That is a fucking shame, because people should go in a little bit blind. The ending is brilliant, I will say.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, it's brilliant. I absolutely fucking love this movie and the way it goes. But also, it is really held up by the strength of this cast. I mean, already for me, yay lesbians! And you got fucking Paul Scheer playing a bit of a more nuanced, douchier version of his character from The League, which I didn't think was possible, but it happened.
Paul Scheer's face is so like, I really love his face so much and how it lends itself, because he's just got such like odd features that it's just like, this is the kind of project that he would soar in, and he does. And
he even made me remember briefly the movie Stealth. I'm cutting deep from what the movie did.
That's a leap you can take on your own, Jordan.
Fuck that movie.
That's James Franco. James Franco, right? Was it Franco or
that was a fucking white guy from Sweet Home Alabama, who's also the Home Depot voiceover.
I have literally no idea what any of you are talking about at this point. So let's keep going on.
Talking about this movie.
Yeah.
By the way, I want that house. I want that fucking house I was in this movie.
I do not want this house. This house is fucking terrifying. There is so much glass.
Okay, take out all the terrifying things we find out. I mean,
there's no. I don't know. The architecture of that is so weird, and I hate when architecture is so purposely like odd and weird that it just, there's no way to ever feel at home in that place. Forget it. Like, I could barely manage the weekend there. Yeah,
it had a very similar vibe to like the Ex Machina house. Yeah, like obviously the Ex Machina house is much more technologically advanced, but just that same way of like, maybe modernity has gone too far. Maybe we need to stop this shit.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, I do real quick, because there were a few names that I missed when doing the rundown. I want to shout out the rest of the names and just give a heaping of praise onto everybody. Natalie Z, John Daly, Charlene Yee, Kirby Howell-Baptiste, and Al Madrigal also star in this movie. And it's an ensemble, but it's a small ensemble. And if there's anything close to a criticism that I have for this movie, it's that I feel like certain aspects of the ensemble aren't used to great lengths, especially Kirby Howell-Baptiste, who I will say does deliver one of the most compelling lines in the movie in the final few minutes. But I wanted a little bit more from the whole crew, because some of them I think are really, really well utilized in that small amount of time, especially people like Paul Scheer. and maybe five more minutes to flesh out some of those characters I personally would have appreciated. But the whole cast is fucking on point.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. Like, when they're all sitting together and they're finally unleashing, like, who they really like. Because, you know, you are who you are around your friends, but you are only who you really, really are around certain friends. And I love that this group falls into the former. And that extended sequence, I thought, this is a great sequence. It's well-written and well-acted. But, man, this would have been so much better had we spent more time with these people and talked about who they are and the lead-up to all that. So yeah, I'm right there with you. I think that's the only thing I wish for more is more of everybody.
Yeah. Or even more time just in the third act of the movie, we should say, as things get revealed and emotional truths come out, and spend a little more time with a couple of those specifically, which again, obviously we won't spoil. We're dancing around it. This movie's really, really fucking good. I cried so much in this movie.
Oh, did you? Oh, that's awesome.
It was one of those things where, like, kind of related to, like, personal experiences and stuff. Just the timing hit me, and once that third act came in, I was just fucking weeping in my bed watching this at like 2 a.m. And I messaged our chat for this because Jordan was alongside me in the review for a film from last year, Spontaneous, and this has the same feeling to me that movie did, where it was, oh, this is something really, really special, and I'm gonna be so fucking annoying about this movie for maybe the rest of the year, because
to be fair, that is how I still am with Spontaneous.
Oh, me too. It's coming to Hulu next month and I'm just revving up again. But it's a similar thing where you have the premise and then you have the third act that bad critics are spoiling, even when they're praising the movie. And you just want to... You hope that you can get people into it on the premise alone.
Yeah.
Because the way that it reveals itself and uses its sci-fi dark comedy aspects to really get at the core of a lot of basic tenets of human emotion is kind of spectacular.
Yeah. Well, I hard agree on that. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I think we're all in general agreement on this. So let's just start moving over to our final thoughts so we can continue to gush about this a little more. Ryan, you've been a little quieter. Is this because you secretly hate this movie and all of us?
Hate this movie and all... No, okay, so I definitely didn't...
I knew it.
I definitely didn't secretly hate this movie. I guess if I had one criticism, I feel like the emotional core of it didn't hit really as strong for me in the third act, but I didn't think it was bad in any way. Like, I had a really good time. It didn't hit me in the way that Spontaneous did, but I do feel like I want to watch it again and see if maybe it will, because, you know, like, being in the right headspace is so important for watching anything and, like, getting the reaction that you're supposed to. But what I did like about that final sort of message at the end, without spoiling anything, is I did feel it was really nuanced and something that isn't expressed in a lot of, I guess, I want to say romantic comedy type of movies, because this kind of is in a way, but I think it's a complex idea that isn't, and like, I think an important, really like sweet thing that isn't really conveyed a lot. And I think that I could appreciate that about it, even if I wasn't, it didn't hit me as hard as I kind of wanted it to, I guess. But I do think that, like, a huge feature of this is that the runtime is kind of leaner, and I think that just helped things. It felt like it really moved quickly, and I think that added to, like, the overall tone and, like, feeling of it to me. And I thought that it kind of, I don't know, I thought it felt really breezy. While they probably could have, I think, like you were saying, Frank, I feel like they could have fleshed out some of the characters more, but that would have kind of, maybe things would have dragged a little bit in the third act if they would have done that. But I don't know. Bottom line is, I think that for a movie that is from a, like, it's, I think he's a first time director, right?
Yeah.
This is debut. I like, amazing. Like great, great work. I'm really excited to see whatever he's going to do next. I am going to give this 6.5 out of 10 puzzles that will never be completed.
Oh yeah. That hurt Tragedy. My heart. Yeah. That hurt my really, heart so really, much. Yeah.
Painful.
As someone making a Superman puzzle at the moment. Yeah.
Jordan.
What aren't you doing right now, Jordan? God, you just, like, every I have minute. It's, like, God. You are so productive with every minute of your day. You put me to shame. I swear. I was like, oh.
Here's the secret. ADHD. Anyway.
Does that come in diet form? Sorry.
No. Jesus Christ. Okay. I fucking love this movie. I do kind of agree. It did go by maybe a bit faster than I would have liked, and there are some things I would have liked fleshed out a little bit more, in all honesty. But I really fucking love Joel McHale more often than I don't, and he was stellar here. But really, for me, the star of this movie was Carrie Bishi, who, again, I don't hate the final season of Scrubs. I mean, it ain't great or anything, but... I really did like her there, and I am so happy to see her here again, and hopefully this launches her to getting a lot more work. I mean, it's a great performance. Steven Root is terrifying, and yay, Shane Woodward and Kirby, fucking lesbians. That gets an automatic 8 points out of me for every movie. Yay.
They make great lesbians. They really do.
Yeah, they really are. But like, also, the way this movie builds and actually adds some great intriguing mystery and all the reveals, it's fantastic. I love the concept. I really do. I love dark comedies, and I especially love dark stories that turn a genre sort of on their ear, like this does here with romantic comedies. So, and yeah, fuck you. Anyone that's out there reviewing this movie and giving the brilliant twist away. Stop it. I do highly recommend this movie, but just go in as blind as possible. Just know the basics of the plot, and that's it. Just then sit down and watch it, because this movie is well worth your time. I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 misleading tones. Where really I just tell you I got pizza.
All right.
Love that moment.
It's so,
so good.
That was a great laugh. Yeah. It's like, oh, it's not a dead Steven Root. It's pizza. It's even better. But yeah.
Frank.
I guess it's my turn. So I only signed on to this because it was Joel McHale, and I'm a huge Joel McHale fan because love The Soup till the day I die.
I'll say.
And he's one of my celebrity crushes. So but I thought this movie was bonkers and bananas, and I loved it was a screenplay that was just shifting tones and genres with every other scene practically. And I love a movie that has the balls to do that. I don't mind it when I hate when people say, oh, I couldn't understand the tone of it. It was all over. I mean, that's like candy for me.
Yeah.
And this movie delivered on that in that way. I really wish, like we said before, we've gotten to know some of the characters better, especially when there is such a Last of Sheila type of, look it up, kids, type of like setup toward the, midpoint, but I think it's great. I think the ideology that it's going for is solid. I think the ending is really, really a knockout. This whole thing feels like a Twilight Zone episode, and I'm all about that. It's funny in a lot of different ways. I mean, you have like the moment with Charlene Yee. Gets into the car by climbing over the console because she thinks that's a normal way to enter the passenger seat. I love that. It's just like I got a huge giggle out of that. But yeah, so this was fun. This was dark comedy done right, and I got to give this. I'm gonna give it 9 out of 10. Disgusting things I would do to Joel McHale if I had the chance. If you were up for it, because we don't want any claims happening or anything.
Yeah, that's no bueno.
That's no.
You gotta get into that community movie somehow, Frank.
That is true.
Oh,
I would sacrifice Frank as a sexual object to get that movie.
happily.
Ha! That's the title of the. We said the thing.
That's no pun intended.
Honestly. And this is no disrespect to Grabinski's work as a writer. If someone told me that most of this movie was improvised, I would believe them. And I don't say that as in an insulting way. I say it in, it's all so natural and it flows. Like the stuff you mentioned where Charlene Yi gets in the car on the wrong side. That feels so honest and weird. And it feels like someone had that idea and was like, hey, wouldn't this be funny? Let's do this. And it's one of the better jokes in the movie that's filled with really good jokes. I wish it was a little longer. And I wish we could know some of the characters more. But that's really it. I want to watch this movie a couple more times and fall more and more in love with it now that I know what it's doing and where it goes. And if you remember the spontaneous review, I was super hot on it, but I wasn't crazy about it like I am now after the first watch. I watched it 3 more times. I'm probably going to watch this 3 more times and I will probably love it even more. But as of right now, I'm going to say that I'm going to give this 9 out of 10 slow motion shots of incredibly attractive people that make me have to stop the movie and fan myself. Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
The opening scene of this movie is some of the most attractive any humans have ever looked. Just like the slow mo shots of Joel McHale and Carrie Beach looking at each other. It's like, fucking kill me, both of you, right now.
Well, look, I'm sure me and Frank are on the same page as that opening where it's like, yeah, if I saw Carrie Bishy and he saw Joel McHale, yeah, we just immediately go off to a bathroom and start banging. I mean...
Yeah, I was like, I'll see you later, Jordan. I'm going to be busy for a little
bit. So will I.